I did just finish a book. Actually, two books on the Raphaim and the Watchers. It's very, let's say, time-consuming reading because it's difficult to comprehend what this particular lady and her husband both are involved in trying to uncover how the little gods, actually had all kinds of, let's say, difficult ways of identifying themselves, changing their names, changing their nature. And it's kind of neat because I would say for the past maybe 15 years, there's one scripture that the Lord has had me release into the air. But you release it, you don't know what you're producing. Okay? You're just decreeing or declaring, or both. And I read the first book, and it was really homework, if that makes any sense. The second book is based on what you've learned from the first, and it just takes you a little deeper. And it's really based on some of the scriptures that you see in Job, where the sons of God gathered together, okay? And obviously Satan comes in with the sons of God. Well, again, it's G-O, and you've got to remember when he left the realm of the heavens because he chose to rebel against God, he lived on the earth. And that is important to realize. And you've got to remember that when God talks about Adam and Eve, who shows up? Satan is there. He's right there in the garden. So, keeping that in mind, when you realize it made my thought patterns maybe a little bit different. Because you've got Adam, who is now created to be higher than the angelic realm. Satan is part of the angelic group. So obviously, jealousy. And when you see jealousy, because he knows now if he was a man, he could take over the earth. And so he manipulates in order to, let's say, deceive Eve, and he does. But Adam made a choice. So when he made the choice to really follow the angels, it gives you a different concept. But
an arrow key next to the mute.
I said, Lord, it's not that clear, but on the second bullet, you see a pattern that God formed by showing you what was going on in the heavens and in the earth. Because now the demonic people or demonic spirits that were in the heavens are on the earth, all of them. Okay? And so, they have a lot of science that tells you that the earth has been a lot more than 6,000 years and so on and so forth. Well, it depends on where you go in when God created. Okay, so that part was helpful. This lady has an awful lot of knowledge. She's very well educated and she's been studying for years, so she did a good job. So, to make a long story short, at one point, on one of the mountains in Israel, these little gods had their meeting. And when they had their meeting, what they were doing is they were setting up shop for regions. Different regions under different demonic princes, if you wish. And the principalities, yes, comes in. So that part was confirmed, which was kind of cool. But then, kind of ironic, you see them with titles that you've studied with Greek mythology and Egyptian witchcraft, their control tactics, all of what they do. And I thought, okay, I'm catching on a little bit better, you know. But the sweet part was towards, I think, the next to the last chapter. She takes us to Isaiah 14. Now, Isaiah 14 speaks about what I perceived as Satan, but there's more. And I don't want to go into all that. I just want you to see, because the impact for me was, I've been declaring that particular scripture in obedience to the Holy Spirit, because many times, if I'm having Holy Communion by myself, he'll bring me to that particular word. And I just want to give you a little bit of insight. Because again, see, God confirms and reconfirms. But it takes years to find out what you did and why you did it. So let me just say that because I always write a little note to myself in when I was reading this particular chapter. And I would say it starts off in 2013, 2011, 2012. I think the first time is 1108. Actually, no, excuse me, 10-22-05. Tabernacles, the Lord brought it in. So he's been at this 05, 14, 04, excuse me, 5-104. And I mean, I must have, I don't know, 30 times in there. And then on the second page, going through it, it's different dates as well, because sometimes he'd give me a specific date. He gave me 4/13/21, just a few days back. 7/18/16, and declaring the word, 2/26/21. So again, you know, there's different times that he's brought this, but it didn't make as much clarity. When I would read it, I would read it in faith. Now I'm reading it from a different angle, because I've got so much material about these little gods that were set up in that region. And the final blow is, when is God going to judge? Because he will. So if you would just bow your heads right now. Say, Holy Spirit, I just want to understand that your plan is flawless. It's not like my plan. It doesn't need to be readjusted every time I turn around. He is the author and the finisher. And his spirit is alive in me. And I want to understand. That's my quest. The spirit of understanding to open me up more than ever before, so that I will not fail. Because my goal is victory. In Jesus' name I pray. So I finished the book after I had my lunch and came down here, and there was a little bit of a challenge. So I sat down, put some music on, and asked the Lord for grace. So he did. He provided. But then when I came out of the realm of the spirit, which I was in for maybe 35, 40 minutes, I heard Psalm number 30. So that's where we're going to go. Psalms number 30. And you'll like the heading on the NIV. It's a song for the dedication of the temple of David. And I thought, how cool is that? It's a song for the dedication of the temple of David. Now, in case you forgot, he's building what? A temple in us. Okay? So it relates. And that's what I was excited about. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depth and did not let my enemies gloat over me. See, don't let anybody kid you. When the demonic realm is able to drag a believer down, you don't think that there's a celebration in the hell? Come on. If they can pull down a biggie, they will celebrate in a big way. Why do you think that when you see high officials in churchianity or Christianity, if you wish, fall down, that's your clue to intercede for them, not to be celebrating that they've lost their position or been exposed or whatever? Because again, the enemy has had a victory, and you can't make believe that it isn't the truth, because St. Paul's letters warns the people not to celebrate when someone falls. Get ready to pick them up and pick them up and then release healing into them. So verse 2, O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. Well, I can say that he showed me a couple of things that had been done. And I was able to obey, and my body has improved. So those of you who prayed for me this afternoon on the telephone, we won't go there. Victory has come, I would say, about 85% of the way. So God, hip, hip, hooray. Amen. Oh, Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints. Notice he's not sinners. There's no sinners there. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. You say, why do you think David wrote that in there? As he's dedicated the temple. I think he's trying to be honest. He's got emotions just like the rest of us. And he's aware that God may be upset. And he probably tasted some difficult times. And I don't know how much he blamed God for it. But I know this. He was aware of God's anger for a moment. But he was also aware of the favor that lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Huh? You love that. Well, when I read that, I had a flash vision. In 1982, when all of the paperwork was finally finished, Irene and I had we had two vehicles. And one of them was a small little hatchback And we both wanted to go to PTL for a week because there was a big celebration for the 4th of July. So, you know, when you're going to, we had finally gotten free from all our, let's say, situations with the store, the building, the stuff. We still had garages full, but that's another thing. But we were able to just leave and enjoy. I think we were gone for maybe a week, 10 days. I don't remember the numbers. So in order to take the little car, because we had a beautiful camper, but to drive the camper down, which it's 900 miles, so it didn't make any sense. So we borrowed my nephew's tent. And we figured we're going to be down in the Carolinas. And we're going to tent. Okay. So I called PTL to see if there was a place for tent. She says, well, we have one on overflow. I said, fine. And so I gave my name and we drove down. Well, anyway, old Scratch got involved in a couple of little discussions. And that when we got there, we were actually on the overflow right next to the amphitheater. So those of you who have ever seen what the outlay of the PTL grounds were, it was an awesome spot. I mean, we could walk because they were dedicating the upper room at that time. And so I was quite excited about that because it was a duplicate of the upper room in Jerusalem. So we had a little bit of a mound, and then on one side was the amphitheater, on the other side a little road, and there was the chapel, which was awesome. So I don't remember what the discussion was, but anyway, the discussion was difficult for whatever reason, and I said to my wife, tomorrow you're going to be on your own because I am going to work on the phones for the better part of a day. I signed up until 5 o'clock. So we'll go out to dinner at 5. Just meet me at the door. It's downstairs of the upper room and it's right there and not far from the camp. So it's going to be okay. Now you got to remember, but we cried out to the Lord. And I heard, I thought we had a mic. I heard Psalm number 30. And I'll never forget it because I read it and I said, what kind of joy are you going to bring in the morning? Because that's part of it. Okay? So, we went to bed, and the next morning, Irene is up first, which is rare, and I was just being lazy, I guess, laying in the tent, and I hear on the side of the tent, she says, you gotta get up, you gotta get up. So I've got shorts on and a t-shirt, so I come out. And guess who was there but Uncle Henry? Those of you who know Uncle Henry, he was Jim Baker's right-hand man. He's greeting everybody. And of course, he wants to meet this lady's husband. And I mean, you know, it's like celebrity status, all right? I mean, you watch him on TV, and we had watched him for at least 5 years, every day for 2 hours. Because it was a two-hour program at that time. And there he is. I mean, we knew who he was. We knew the things he did. We knew the type of person he was. But he was going from tent to tent to welcome us. It must have been around 6:30 in the morning. After he left, I'm hearing, did you see the joy that I brought in the morning? Yes, I did, Lord. Wow. This is cool because I hadn't told Irene. And I didn't say anything because my job was going to start around 9. So we went out for breakfast, and I went to the upper room to work with the counseling phones. Well, they had given us a snack at noontime. She went out to lunch on her own. And at 5 o'clock, I come out. Now, you got to remember, this is 1982. Irene has been struggling to get the gift of tongues for all of those years, 5 years, she cried out. We prayed for her. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times, and it never opened up. So while she had nothing else to do, the upper room was right there and the chapel was right there. So she literally in the afternoon decided to go into the chapel. And this is her confession, so I'm going to spill the beans. She sat down kind of in the back, and there was a big, big picnic table in there with benches. And she said they were going to have prayer for anybody who just came and would like to have prayer. So she's sitting kind of further away from the table. She really didn't want to hear, you know, what the conversation was, but she heard the lady say, you know, I'd like to have prayer to receive Holy Spirit. So then she says, I kind of relaxed, you know. So she said, the pastor said, okay, all of you lift your hands. We're going to pray for this lady to receive the Holy Spirit. And Irene had made up her mind, she's not going to leave the building until she talks in tongues. That was her commitment. I don't care how long it takes, I'm not leaving here until I'm open. Do you see 5 years of hunger getting satisfied because the joy wasn't finished? Okay. So she starts to pray. I don't know if she prayed in French or in English. I don't know that part. She would be the only one that would tell you. And as she did, the syllables started to come out of her mouth. And in French, it's not a good word. So now she's thinking, it can't be tongues. Okay? So she shuts it down. And then she says, wait a minute, what if it is? You know, because your head's in the way. She got a fluent language, the whole package. She was so blessed. And when at 5 o'clock, when I went to the door, she is so drunk, she can't walk. So the joy of the Lord was not just in the morning. It didn't finish till late the afternoon. So now we're going to go out to eat. She said, well, I got to call my daughter-in-law. Because the daughter-in-law, Rick's wife at the time, had been filled with the Holy Spirit. She was speaking in other tongues. She had miracles. And Irene wanted it. So she's going to call this woman, our daughter-in-law. And what does she do? She dials the wrong number. She dials another person with the same name that doesn't speak in tongues, that knows nothing about it. And now she's like, so all I can tell you is God is faithful, but he doesn't do it in logical ways, okay? And that's why I wanted to make you see, weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning, but it lasts. That's what I'm trying to show you. It didn't shut down at 12 o'clock. It didn't shut down at 5 o'clock. In fact, it didn't shut down for a week. She was on a real high for at least a week, if not more. Verse 6, when I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Notice it's the word feeling. When I felt secure, that's your soul. A feeling and an emotion can be trusted for what? until the next test, unless it's a couple of hours, couple of minutes. I felt secure. I said, I will never be shaken. See, when you've got the soul that's cooperating with your spirit, nobody's going to shake your tree. Okay? When she got off the phone with this family member, she says, I can't believe what I just did. I said, well, in case you forgot, dear, you're not quite yourself right now. So we had a great, great evening. We had an awesome week. And we had, I got to give you this one. There was a big parade that was planned for the whole campground, the whole grounds of PTL. And obviously they had floats. They had all kinds of animals that they had brought in. So it was going to be a major parade, different high schools, bands, et cetera, et cetera. It was a big deal. Well, we decided that we were going to have brunch at 11 o'clock. And when we went to this little restaurant, which, by the way, was right where they're going to have the parade, okay? We were standing in line, and the lady that was the hostess said, because I think that was a couple days after. So she said, well, if you'd like, because we were two, and there was a lady and her daughter behind us. So they said, if you'd like to share a table, you know, two and two will make four, and you can fit in a booth. So we said, well, we're all believers. Okay. These people were from, I think, Minnesota. And so we ended up, the four of us, at the same table, and we ended up talking and praying. And, well, believe it or not, they became friends. We never got to see the parade. We never came out of the restaurant until almost 1:30. Because we ministered to them all the time. We heard the parade go by, but it wasn't important. It had no value. What was valuable is that woman and her daughter. And I don't know whatever happened to them, but I would say for at least 5 years, they would call and we would call as the Lord would lead. So we became Holy Ghost friends at the parade that we never saw. So when I felt secure, verse 6, I said, I will never be shaken. Again, notice that you can declare your emotions. That's different. Oh, Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you did, when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Look at the, all right? So when you're not fully into that joyful moment, the dismay is another area of, you know, heaviness that tries to come upon you. So whenever God hides his face, it's going to have a reaction. Verse 8, to you, O Lord, I call. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. Well, I do that even now. I cried for mercy this afternoon because my body was misbehaving. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Well, if you don't think that was a wise one, part of the results of those two books is to make us see that the Lord will definitely bind up the enemy or enemies for 1,000 years. And that's kind of cool, okay? While the dust, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. So think about what he wants to do when you and I run before him. You turn the weakness of crying out into dancing, and then your weeping will stop and he will clothe you with joy. Well, we had lived that the following day. We had lived it for the week. To my heart, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Now, fast forward the rest of the week. It was an awesome week. We had an awesome time. Every bit of it was great. On our way home, we had bought a nice cassette of worship songs that we had learned while we were there. And we've got it in the car. The wind is blowing. It's a gorgeous day. The car is doing well. We're crossing over the New York border. Okay. Something hit so hard when we entered and went over the river, and something was spoken that was so bad that I reacted. And my reaction was Holy Spirit words that came out that I did not like. And it was really the darkness that had actually, maybe the soul, from my wife's point of view, I never discussed it with her. But what came out of my mouth was not pretty, because it was reactionary, but it was also the anointing, because the anointing was in the car. I can only tell you that. So when we entered the dark area of New England, I'll never forget it. So now everything got quiet because the words shut everything down. The worship stopped. And then I want to take the words back, but you can't. The words are already out. They were not accusing words. They were words of adjustment. In other words, what you just said is not acceptable, because what it's going to produce is not good. Okay? And I won't go into the details. But it hounded me all the time in my head. Fast forward 4 or 5 years. Okay? And that word is still alive in me. It's still plaguing. And I'm watching bad choices. I'm watching things that I would want to be different or try to say different. And the Lord was trying to teach me that I'm not somebody's teacher. That is not part of the marriage covenant. Husbands are not to be teachers when the reception is not being received. So that was fine. I finally said, Lord, she's your daughter. You're going to do what you want, and you're going to do whatever needs to be doing. It's not me that can change her. So that kind of, you know, washes your hands. But it didn't take away the thoughts, because the accuser had gotten a hold of those words. Okay. So now, on a Tuesday night at Grace Church, so those words came out in 82. It had to be more than 5 years. I would say this is probably closer to 90. All right. So I'm guessing now. 15 years, 17 years, whatever the number is, it's not important. But I've got a gentleman that I've been counseling. He's from Vermont. He travels down to Springfield twice a month so we can have time together. And we usually sometimes do it on Tuesday so he could stay for the service, because he was very good at visions. Visions were his gift. So he stays after the service on this Tuesday, and he asked me, can I have a real one-to-one talk for a few minutes after you close up? I said, well, I won't turn on the alarm, but I'll lock everything up. And we went into my office. It's the upstairs office, that's right. So it's further than that. It's further, it's more years than that. Could be 96, 97. My God, that'd be 20 years roughly. Anyway, the bottom line is, so I don't know how to say this, but he describes the vision that he sees, and in it, my wife is in it. And, you know, if you've been attacked with a lying spirit, say 15 years or 20 years, whatever the number is, it's ho-hum, but it's still active. Am I making sense? Okay. He actually described in the vision what I had spoken about my wife. But this time, there was living water flowing over her, disintegrating what was spoken. And of course, as he's talking, you know, the flood just opened up. And I'm weeping. What did I do wrong, Kim? What did I do wrong? I said, you didn't do anything wrong. So I said, you have no idea. This is setting me free. This is God saying something with the vision that is changing me from now being accused all these years, because it would come from a negative standpoint. God was reversing the curse and bringing it with justice and mercy. And then the changes began to happen. So you see, it doesn't matter how long it takes. I'm just trying to tell you that God didn't forget. Holy Spirit did not forget. And I want to be reminding you that the favor of God is involved in all of these things, but there's also the judge. See, the Lord said that he would take care of the situation that is involved in the earth. And part of that book, or the two of them actually, concern God's judgment on these little gods that I showed you or shared with you. And so I'd like to give you a few scriptures that I pray will help you about what is coming down the highway. I judged myself guilty of words that had come out under the anointing of the Lord to bring an adjustment. But it took 20 years for me to learn, roughly, that for me to put myself into guilt and self-condemnation and fault-finding had to stop. And he used someone's vision to change my mindset. Now, what if I didn't go to the service that night? What if this man didn't show up? God would have used somebody else, right? What I'm trying to tell you is be patient with yourself and be patient with the Lord, because he knows when to release the mercy. Hear me. He knows when to release the mercy. So here's some of the scriptures. John chapter 5, verse 22. The Father judges no one. But he has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Acts 10:42. He commands us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. You see, there is a lot involved when you think that people are dead or demonic spirits are still active. And you've heard me teach about family demons that operate from one generation to the other, and you can see what they've done. These are spirits from dead experiences that were in the earth, and they're still around doing damage. Okay? But Matthew 18 says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And your battle is not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities, regional demons that operate in the heavens. And if they come down, you have access to them and you can stop what's going on. Acts 17:31. For he has set a day when he will judge the world. Did you hear that? He has set a day when he will judge the world and with justice by the man he has appointed. Who's that man? It's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of Man. Amen. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. So think about the reality here. He has set a day. And if you go back to Acts chapter 2, it said in the Amplified, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there's a timeline involved. Holy Spirit could not come on those 120 until that particular day. And again, there's a day set aside by God where he will judge those that are appointed to judge. That's our Savior, obviously. But who will he judge? He will judge the living and the dead. He will judge those that are in the earth, but also the demonic principalities. And that's what those books are about. The regional stuff. And it actually centers mostly in the Middle East because they've got history in those areas and for hundreds and thousands of years. And the more they dig up these different tells or old cities, et cetera, they found proof of different things and the demons that they were worshiping by name. So again, you see, a demon can change its name, but it's still a demon. Okay? It has its nature and it's visible when you see the fruit. Romans 2:16. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secret through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. That's pretty cool, isn't it? This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. Romans 14:10. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It's confirmed in 1 Corinthians 4:5. Last but not least, 2 Timothy 4:1. In the presence of God, and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. Think about what I'm saying. I always had the mental thoughts when that particular word was spoken, that it was dead men and women. But that's not what it says. It's the dead that are actually under the anointing of death, and those are demon spirits, because they have one future ahead of them, and that is judgment by the Lord. Well, he will put them away. And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. 1 Peter 4:5 confirms it. So again, trying to bring these two things together that the Lord was showing me this afternoon is, you've got joy that is brought by God. You've got awesome things that he can produce in you. Awesome things that he's preparing to do in us. And the next level is to really be able to be trusting that even if it takes 20 years, whatever it takes, he's not forgetting. His mercies will definitely be operating. And he's going to bring you back to where you need to be, no matter how much you have strayed. Even if you see someone going off in the wrong direction, don't stop praying for them. Okay? You see them going, and we have a tendency to judge. But remember, who's the final judge? It's the Lord. And he's faithful. Even when we're not, he's faithful. So if you will lift your hands to him, say, Holy Spirit, I'm expecting grace and favor, not just for this country, but all the countries of the world. There are dark forces that need to be judged. And we know who's going to do it. It's not our job. It's our Savior, Jesus. He's got the commission. He's been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. He will not fail. And we will not fail, because he's on our side. He's our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. I give you all the praise. I thank you to touch my Canadian friends. And I thank you for touching John and Ann, and also for what you're doing in my sister Gail. There are difficult seasons, but the God of heaven is still on the throne. And when he releases words of life and light to you, specifically to you, Gail, to really be blessed and knowing that this season will have an end, that this testing will come to a complete finish line. And the real joy that he's prepared for you is what he's waiting to download into you, because he did it for my wife and me. And he'll certainly is no respecter of persons. He's not without knowing what you're going through and why. And we thank you that you will be an example to your children and to your children's children. And just because they don't understand or ask questions, that doesn't mean that they're not questioning about God. I give you praise, my Lord, to continue to bless my sister, my brother, and all of what's going on right now in Canada. Yes, Lord, what you're doing in Canada is a work that's underneath the blankets. Nobody's seeing it, but it's still a work done by God. And it's going to bring grace and favor and much joy when the time is right, where the blankets are removed and these that have been pushing the wrong buttons and trying to take over this nation along with Canada, they will not be succeeded. They will be exposed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.